Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and I'm coming to you live from just east of Springfield, Missouri. And apparently I left my other speaking mouth at the cleaners. So you're going to hear some background noise, probably some trucks rumbling and things like that. If my voice sounds a bit off, I'm going to try to use my audio software to remove any rumblings or anything from the background to try to clean it up, although sometimes that makes my voice sound a little bit weird, but I have a choice. Either I sound normal and you have a background hum, or I can remove the background hum and I sound a little off. I'll see which way it's better. To give you a quick update, my transmission is still borked, but if I feather it very lightly, it's second gear that's having an issue. And if it slams into second gear hard, it locks into second gear. The Allison transmissions have a limp mode, I guess they call it, so where it detects a problem, it'll stay in that gear and it won't shift gears anymore. Well, if I feather it and baby it, it takes me about a country week, but I can slowly get it up to highway speeds. And so I went roaring down the highway, and I only stopped when I had to get gas tonight. And let's hope I can keep feathering it. I've been in areas twice where there were no diesel mechanics that knew how to work on an Allison transmission. Because a lot of these truck stops, I can't stop in a big city. There's just no place to stop for a rig this size. So I have to find these truck stops, and a lot of times they're kind of out of the way. So we'll see how that goes. And also, I had a flat tire on my dolly, which is why I stopped for the night a couple hours ago, a little bit earlier than I wanted to, because my dolly that's transporting my truck, that got a flat tire. I was able to get that fixed, patched up here at the truck stop. And then, let's see what else. Oh, and somebody, while I was away getting, I hooked the dolly up to my truck, drove it over to a service station to get the tire repaired. While I was gone, a truck driver backed up into the bus. It only put a dent in the back door, and I think I can just hit it with a little bit of paint because it's showing the bare metal underneath and I don't want it to rust. So I'll take a little spray paint and paint it. Thank goodness the back window did not smash out. So, hey, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. But with all these things happening, and of course, while I'm driving, I can't really research any stories, although I did find one I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk a little bit about when life gives you lemons, you give it right back to them, squeeze it right back in their eyes. And I don't like to make lemonade, you have to add sugar. Sometimes life is not fun enough to have sugar. Sometimes life is just hard and things don't work out your way. And so just give it right back to it, you know, because it makes you tougher and stronger. And I was thinking about this tonight and how it would relate to a lot of you guys. I'm going to share a personal story of mine, but here's how it will relate to yours. I think most of us have either been in a friendship that ended poorly or a friend did us wrong. Maybe a parent or a family member you've had a falling out with, and maybe you're not getting along with them because they did you wrong or they weren't fair to you or something like that. Many of us are here because we've been in some relationships that ended so badly that it was enough that you said, you know, I think I'd rather be single than ever have a relationship end this badly again. We've all had those hard times, and there's a couple different things that you're going to go through when you go through these hard times. For me, one of them is the immediate one, especially after relationships, is the unhappiness and the just you're miserable. Life was going well, things were going well, everything was on track, life was good, and then something usually out of your control happened, whether you got fired from a job or relationship or whatever. And now you're miserable. And it feels like life is never going to get back to the way it should be, or life is unfair, or the world is out to get you, or bad things always happen to me. That went through my head a couple times today. And it's just a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing, and it's your reaction to what you're used to, or things going a certain way, getting thrown out of whack. And you very much, the body or the mind, naturally likes things that it knows how to categorize. It knows what's going to happen. It likes to find a comfortable place. And when that's thrown out of whack and you don't know what's going on, or your life is in chaos, or something bad has happened, or, well, you know, any of a multitude of different things, it can really agitate you and stress you out. Well, you're not alone in going through this, and I do have an article I'm going to read through. And it's really, I looked through quite a few articles, and this one kind of summed up what I like to say. But I have a tendency to ramble. I've had a tendency to ramble, and I get off on track on things. And so reading an article helps me stay focused. Otherwise, I'll end off in the weeds somewhere 3 miles from where I wanted to go. First, let's talk about some losses. This one came, about 2 weeks ago from Tom Likas. And I listened to Tom Likas. Tom Likas is one of the OGs. But I'm going to read what he said, and then I'm going to explain why he really upset me with this and where there's a lesson in what he said. Not a good one. There's a lesson in not doing the way he looked at this. So a reporter named Yashar Ali said, 7 people are no longer living after an incident at a birthday party where friends, family, and children gathered to celebrate early Sunday morning. And this, again, is coming from May 9th. So somebody showed up with a weapon and took care of 7 people, and they're no longer living. Tom Likas, who's changed his name on Twitter to Vaccinated Tom Likas, says, Colorado Springs voted for Trump. Enjoy. Thoughts and prayers. Womp, womp. That's W-O-M-P twice. Womp, womp. Womp, womp. And here's the thing. I don't care what you like politically or not politically or anything else. But imagine being so ingrained into your politics or into your worldview that you're actually kind of okay with 7 people losing their lives because an area voted not the way you liked it to. I don't care what party you vote for. I don't care your beliefs. Many of you might not even be in this country or, you know, have our parties to vote for. But take a pause for a minute and really evaluate what type of person you are that has these thoughts about other human beings. And so, again, even when things don't go your way, even when somebody has done you horribly wrong, take a moment and not lose your humanity. I say this even though I've definitely had some very frustrating times with people in my life, and you definitely think about, well, I'd be okay if something bad happened to them. But these are strangers and may have voted some way that Tom Likas didn't like. And he said this kind of horrible thing about them. And don't lose your humanity no matter what happens. I think this is a loss for Tom. I think it makes him look very poor. Another one. This is from Instagram from a woman named Kimberly Hill. She's her title is Men's Life Dating and Relationship Coach. Let me say that again. Men's Life Dating and Relationship Coach. This is why I say you cannot ask a fish how to go fishing. She's a men's life dating and relationship coach, and this is her post. She says toxic masculinity looks like devaluation of women. Now, who's devaluing women? Men or women putting themselves on OnlyFans and doing TikTok stuff and going on Twitch and doing very risque activities for subs to earn money. Would that be men or would that be women devaluing themselves? I would say it'd be the women. Condemning other men for feminine qualities. I can't say as I've condemned a man for a feminine quality because everybody has their own life. But I can say that if you're not able to take care of yourself and you aren't into stoicism and self-reliance and being a strong, independent person, especially a man, yeah, I'm going to kind of make fun of you for that one. Higher levels of social isolation. Well, I must be the most toxic man alive because about all I do is high levels of social isolation. Again, that's part of stoicism and being okay being on your own. But she relates this as a negative. Avoidance of emotional expression aside from anger. So if it's toxic to avoid emotional expression, except anger, you shouldn't express that one at all, apparently. Again, stoicism. But she's a men's life dating coach, guys. She's really going to give you the good advice here. So, you know, make sure that if you're upset about something, to cry, get it all out of your system. Maybe, I don't know, whine a lot. And maybe that'll help you. I don't know. She says extreme self-reliance. That's bad masculinity right there. Extreme self-reliance. Again, being able to take care of yourself, If you have a problem, you don't stress, you don't fret about it, you just handle it, get it done, take it care of. Who's going to be more happy, that guy or the guy that's like, oh no, a child needs a village kind of thing. And extreme aspirations for physical, sexual, and intellectual dominance. Now, I don't know about the dominance part. That word in and of itself, I don't necessarily think men need to worry about dominating thing. But if you ask a lot of women, I think they would definitely like a guy that would be able to physically dominate them. And you may say I'm wrong, but 50 Shades of Grey selling like 50 million book copies, and they're the worst movies I've ever heard of. I caught about 10 minutes of one, and I was like, oh, that acting, that's bad. They all did very well. So I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Miss Kimberly Hill. I think you've got that all wrong. And a guy named Eric Mose posted this on Twitter from his phone, I guess. He says, men who demand DNA tests disgust me. I mean, even if a kid isn't yours, why would you pass on the chance of being a dad to one more child? If someone I hooked up with got a child and said it's mine, I'm taking up the dad role with pride. If someone else sired that baby, his loss. Congratulations, Eric. You're what we call a blue pill beta man. Number one, if the kid's not yours and she says it is, she's lying. She cheated on you. She is a bad person. And you do not want to raise another man's child with a bad person, because that means she's not going to be good to you. Number two, you may not have any legal rights to the kid. And number three, I'm pretty sure about 17 women are going to call you up saying, it's yours. Let's see how far you can go with this until you run out of money when you have to pay for each kid when the woman is completely done with you. Okay, so this is the article I wanted to read, and let me make a mental mark here so I can do a jump to this, because some guys want to come to the main article. This is from Fleur de Lis. Let me correct that. Fleur de Lis. I almost wanted to say Fleur de Lis. But this is from Fleur de Lis, so I guess a woman named Liz. Dare to dream big and live large. Her points, I think, are very salient here about when you run into problems. And again, this was on my mind a lot today with transmission problems and dolly flat tire problems and toe strap braking problems and backing into my bus problems. It's always something. She says, the unexpected yet powerful advantage of challenges. When you face difficult times, know that challenges are not sent to destroy you. They are sent to promote, increase, and strengthen you. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. She says, I hear you. It downright sucks whenever we find ourselves in a difficult situation, so much that all we want to do is get out of it as fast as humanly possible. That said, a life absent of challenges, obstacles, and or failures may sound like a dream, but over the years, I've come to understand that in life, adversity is not only inevitable, but also necessary if we were to aspire to become our very best self. There's a group of people that is, they're called the 27 Club. And these are actors or actresses that either died right at 27 or immediately around it, such as Amy Winehouse, such as Stevie, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know how old Stevie Ray Vaughan was, but he played music from Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix. Little Wing. They played similar songs. That's why I got them tied up. But anyway, point aside, John Belushi. A lot of them died right at 27. And what was kind of the similar theme to all of them? All of them became very rich, very powerful, very wealthy, were able to kind of party and sleep with and do whatever they wanted. Kurt Cobain's another one. And they had no more challenges in life. So they ended up kind of finding escapism into illicit substances, and they had problems with it, and they left the world. And there's also another, and some of you can probably post this below, there's also a curse, I think it is a curse, where it sounds like a blessing when somebody says, May all of your dreams come true. It sounds like it's a blessing, but it's actually a curse, because it doesn't give you anything to look forward to. Me personally, I've been on the road now a week, and it feels like 3 months. I really mean that. I'm exhausted all the time. My hands are perpetually, I've washed them and scrubbed them, and they're still I don't know if you can see, and my nails. They're perpetually covered in oil because I'm always tinkering around the bus and doing something. This has been the longest week of my life, but it's also been enjoyable, even though it's tough, because I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what challenge it is. There is unexpected. And while many people stress out about that, once you kind of get used to it, you find that it's not really a big deal anymore. And actually, you get very good at handling not knowing what's coming up. And eventually, it can even be pleasurable. Now, that isn't the same in relationships or in your job or things like that. But when something does happen, it is an opportunity for you to say, you know something, this isn't the way I wanted this to go, but I do have the opportunity to change my path in life and to maybe take a different direction. So no, I did not want to get fired, but I can find a new vocation or a new challenge. No, I did not want to get broken up with or cheated on or something like that, but I'm single. Maybe I can reconnect with my friends. Maybe this is an opportunity for me to move locations across the country or do different things. Yes, it stinks, but there's something that can really be said for it building back a better you, in essence. They say, that said, a life absent of challenges, obstacles, and or failures. I already said that. This is certainly a hard thought to swallow when we are in the thick of an unpleasant time in our life. Yet, if we take the time to look back on our past, we'll soon come to realize that our most difficult circumstances, rather than our most joyful moments, were actually those that played a crucial role in shaping who we are today. If you happen to be going through challenges and are feeling defeated, I'm here to offer you a bit of comfort and solace. Below, you'll find 5 hidden messages that often come through rejections, failures, and challenging times. I hope they'll inspire you to stop resisting adversity and learn to start embracing it instead. 1, challenges remind you that you're stronger and more capable than you give yourself credit for. The quote from Bob Marley, "You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice." Again, Bob Marley. Most of us have a tendency to underestimate ourselves and our capabilities. At tough times, whether we like it or not, forces us to respond in ways beyond what we thought was possible. They serve as a reminder that much of the limitations that we think we have are in fact invalid. As the late great Maya Angelou said, "It is necessary to encounter the defeats so you can know who you are, what you can rise from, how you can still come out of it." Sometimes it takes moments where we're backed into a corner to find out what we're truly capable of. If you happen to be a surfer, the waves make a great analogy. When you're faced with an immense wave, you can choose to either ride the waves or let it knock you down and possibly drown you. Hopefully, you'll always choose the former. Show yourself that you're stronger than you give yourself credit for. I'll tell you a really good life story, and it is all due to one of the last relationships I had where she absolutely decimated my heart, absolutely broke my heart. But in the same token, this was a woman that taught me how to get off the couch and start running and start training and doing CrossFit and becoming healthier. And in a course of a year, she taught me how, basically, or she trained me how to run from couch to an ultra marathon. So, which was my longest run to date is 45 miles. In one 24-hour period, but my best time was running 35 miles in 8 hours. And that's not amazing time, but considering this was all in the same calendar year of me getting off the couch and running 100 yards as an ex-smoker, that definitely made a big impact in my life. And while we were on the run, my calves, I trained in what they call a normal sneaker, I guess you could say. But I had ordered some called a zero drop heel, which is supposed to take stress off of your thighs and put a little bit more pressure to your calves so that your muscles are a little bit more balanced while you're running. And so it doesn't stress your quads quite as much. Your calves can take a little bit more of the load. I didn't train with those sneakers. And that was a big mistake because about 10 miles into the course, my calves felt like they were made out of brick. They were just so frozen up and tight and miserable. But she helped, she talked me through it. She kind of walked me through it and helped me and kept me motivated. And because what she kept saying is, hey, at the end of the race, all that goes away. You'll literally stop. You'll get some heat pad on them. In 20 minutes, the pain will go away. But if you don't keep going, you're always going to remember the time you gave up on this race. That'll stick with you forever. You'll forget about the calf pain. And we finished 35 miles in 8 hours. Now, there were professionals that did way, way more laps than we did. But the point was that I was exceptionally pleased with the outcome, and I felt amazing. So much so that I literally like teared up. And I wasn't sobbing or bawling, but tears were coming out of my eyes because I was so proud of myself, because I was so happy, because I pushed myself further than I had probably in any other physical activity in my life. So I could have given up by the excuse of my sneakers. I might have without her kind of, you know, keeping me motivated and pushing me along, because it was my first seriously long race. But she pushed me through it. And because of that, when I got to the finish line, she was wrong. My calves hurt for about a week after that. But her point was still valid. She's like, yeah, but you finished. And is the pain of your calves worth finishing the race? And I said, yeah, no, it is. It really is. And she said, if I told you your calves are going to kill you for a week, you might have quit. But I could have stopped as an excuse on the sneakers. I could have stopped because of my calves. I could have stopped for a million reasons. But she helped me, and I kept pushing through it. And at the end of that race, I was on another level of thrill and excitement and happiness of where I'd been before. So when you hit these challenging times and you push through them, no matter what it is, if you can push through them, you may not necessarily even land in a better place. Just make sure you land in a place that is closer to your ultimate goal. That's probably the best you can do, but at least you're moving in the right direction. Challenges help you cultivate gratitude and compassion. You will have bad times, but they will always wake you up to the stuff you weren't paying attention to. Robin Williams. I wish he had listened to more of his own advice. I wish Robin was still with us. But again, you'll have bad times, but they will always wake you up to the stuff you weren't paying attention to. The truth of the matter is that we often don't really know what we have and fully appreciate it until it's gone or taken away from us. Times of struggle often opens our eyes to the simple joys and things that really matter when we previously had taken them for granted. The experience of having gone through pain and defeat can also help us better relate and be more compassionate to others. As the old age proverb goes, pride goeth before the fall. When we find ourselves experiencing loss and or defeat, we are left burning our pride and arrogance and be humbled by the fact that no one is immune to adversity. Again, another great thing is, the reason why I'm relating my story through this is because some of you had said you like to hear my stories. I still sometimes wonder why. But because everybody is going to go through a hard time, but it does help you appreciate the good times. Again, for example, if you're a college kid or you've ever been not really having a job where your income's coming in good, there are macaroni and cheese weeks in my life where I could buy an 89-cent pack of mac and cheese, and maybe I'd steal a couple of ketchup packets from, I don't know, Wendy's or something or other. Wendy's plastic silverware used to be the best. Like, it was stiff and heavy and really good and thick, and you could actually wash it and reuse it. I think recently they changed them. But I used to be at that point in my life where I was on like mac and cheese, ketchup, and taking plastic utensils from Wendy's. So I had silverware to eat with. I've been there. And so when you kind of get away from that and things are going better for you, you can look back fondly on those times. But it also tells you that when you go back to the mac and cheese and ketchup days, you can say, man, I remember what it was like to be able to eat whatever I wanted, or to be able to have fresh vegetables, or in my case, to be able to sleep when there is air conditioning, which is why I'm beelining like Northwest so I can get somewhere where it's a little cooler at night, because I'm in a flop sweat most of the time because the ventilation's not great on the bus. But when you go through these hard times, it does help you relate to how good things were. And it can go to extremes. Like when I was backpacking and hitchhiking in Iceland and I didn't get a ride for a day or two, it got chilly. And when I say chilly, I'm talking like, I don't know, 13, 14 degrees Celsius. So I think it was around 45, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. But you couldn't light a fire because there is nothing to burn in Iceland. And it's also, I think, illegal. But there's not just nothing to burn out there. And you have to put your tent in kind of some moss, but it's damp, and it's raining, and it's windy, and it's cold. And you're trying to get warm in a sleeping bag, and you've got to dry yourself off. And you're laying there going, oh, man, I remember how great it was to be warm and not shivering and dry. You know you're in a rough spot when you're trying to imagine how good it was to be warm and dry. But again, that makes you appreciate things like a bed, a roof over your head. That's why I think these tough times are good, because they let you appreciate the other things that you might take for granted. They say challenges clarify what you truly want in life. Why do I talk about the benefits of failure? Simply because failure meant a stripping away of the inessential. I stopped pretending to myself that I was anything other than what I was, and began to direct all my energy into finishing the only work that mattered to me. J.K. Rowling said that. I don't think J.K. Rowling is going to have too many challenges left, because there's a little bit of money there. When you find yourself struggling in the professional sphere, whether it's feeling miserable at your job or finding it difficult to land that new ideal opportunity, everyone thinks you should have, and I phrased that poorly, or land that ideal opportunity everyone thinks you should have, it forces you to reevaluate how you want your life to play out. If you allow it, these negative circumstances can help you clarify what it is you're actually passionate about. Better yet, it can be the push you need to throw caution into the wind and finally start living life on your own terms. Kind of what I was saying before. Like, if job goes bad, you break up with a relationship, which means you need to move out or move or something like that. It is a great opportunity. You've been forced into a change, so change it for the better. Find something that is going to move you towards maybe your ultimate goal of being happy. Challenges sharpen your grit. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what the storm is all about. Haruki Murakami. It is not a rarity that highly successful people credit their resilience and persistence, aka grit, as one of the main reasons to their immense success. Rather than seeing defeats and disappointments as hindrances to their growth, they wholeheartedly believe that it is their past failures were the fuel they needed to propel them to greatness. People who are never challenged in life don't have the opportunity to learn how to overcome adversity, a crucial element to develop coping strategies, characters, and strength. As a result, they would often find themselves giving up far too easily when the going gets tough, compared to those who have learned to embrace challenges and use it to their advantages. This is a big thing with the snowflake generation right now. You look at all these guys and girls coming out of college, mommy and daddy, or mommy, plowed the way clear for them. They never had to hear the words no, or you shouldn't, or you can't, or you're not good enough, or you need to practice, you need to try harder, or you're just not going to be able to do it. They didn't hear that. So they never had to work over the adversities. They've never had to have a hard time in their life. And so when they're confronted to one, they scream and re at the top of their heads, because they don't know how. They act like impetulant children, because they have never had to encounter these hard times. You know, when I was younger, I wanted to play basketball. I was not a great point guard. I wasn't an amazing three-point shooter, and I was short. So guess what? Joker did not make it on any basketball teams. Now, had I really practiced and been really good? Sure. Spud Webb and Muggsy Bowes, there were plenty of shorter basketball players. Joker's not one of that skill level. So Joker didn't get to play basketball. That's the way life goes. And at the time, I was disappointed. But as you grow and you learn, you go, hey, you know what? Maybe that's just not for me. Even if I wanted it to be, I'm just not good enough. I have to make a big decision in life and move on. Well, that's the problem now with all these young people. They're not learning to cope with problems. They're used to getting their ways. And of course, they're going out and rioting and burning things down, and the government's still letting them basically get away with it. So they're not going to learn. The problem is when they get, as an adult, and they get into a tough predicament, their problem is to point the finger at everybody else and say it's everyone else's fault. It's not mine. There's no self-accountability. And we're seeing this right now when it comes to dating profiles as well. It's like, oh, you should bow to me because I'm a woman and I bring myself, but you need to bring your money and your looks and your height and treat me like a princess, and I'll treat you like you're a servant and lucky to have me. It's all of this is connected. So these hard times, working through them, struggling through them, it's gonna help you grow. Now, there is a point where you have to say, you know what, this isn't for me. And it's gone through my mind on the bus here a couple times. I'm like, how much money am I going to put into this? I've got about 16 or 17 grand for the bus, for the solar panels, for the wood, for everything in here. I got about 17 grand in here. How much do I want to keep putting this bus into it? Or how much do I want to keep putting into this bus until I get it up to where I want to park it, put some screw jacks underneath it, level it out, and at least I'd have an amazing cabin somewhere on some property. Like, how much money am I going to put into it until I get it up there? As of now, I'm still going. So we're doing okay. But you also need to know when to call it quits. That's also, but the more times you go through adversity, the more times you go through bad breakups, the more times you maybe get released from a job or you get laid off or something doesn't work out for you, the more that you're going to know, hey, this isn't for me. I need to know when to pull the plug. And that's the great news about adversity, is it teaches you when and what to do. If you don't go through that, you're not comfortable in making the decision for yourself. And they say challenges make your achievements even sweeter. Success is sweet and sweeter if long delayed and gotten through many struggles and defeats. Amos Bronson Alcott. Kind of the same thing. This is really the last little point. But hey, the harder the time that you make it through, the sweeter and the better it is when you come out of it. Again, and I use my race as an experience. I was miserable for 8 hours. I was in torturous pain for 8 hours. Every second I had to tell myself, don't quit, just don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And I had somebody else telling me not to quit either. That helped a lot. But because I didn't, when I finished, and I kind of teared up and I was like, wow, man, I didn't know I had the ability to push myself that far into pain, into whatever. David Goggins has a great book on this stuff. I think it's called You Can't Hurt Me. Great book if you haven't gotten it. They have it on Audible. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that has gone through hell and back again. But that's what makes his accomplishments so amazing, was how hard they were to accomplish. If you get something easily, it's uneasily, it's not appreciated. If it takes you a very hard time to get something, that's where you will appreciate something. And that's why these girls that are going out and sleeping with all the guys that are cute and hot, she's easily obtained. Those guys will never appreciate her. Now, the guys that maybe aren't as good looking and or aren't as successful or whatever limitations they have, the problem is that normally, If that girl played hard to get and was hard to obtain for him, he would really appreciate her and probably would treat her very well. The problem is he sees how she cheapened herself by going with all these other men. And then this guy's like, eh, she's used goods. I'm really not interesting. There is no more value there. All right, guys, I hope that gives you a little bit of a takeaway. It's something I've been thinking about going through my struggles for the last couple of days. But I hope this helps you a little bit if you've had some rough patches. It's okay. They're going to happen to you all through your life. Work through them. And when you come out the other side, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to be better equipped for your future. And the little things will stop bothering you as much. That's why I can laugh through some of this stuff. Not all of it. Not all of it, but some of it I can laugh through because I've been through a lot harder, a lot harder. So this becomes an inconvenience. And maybe at some point it becomes an endeavor that is not worth continuing. We'll know when we hit that point, but that's what some of this experience gives to you. All right, now it's time for the dating profiles of the day. All right, this is a young gal that's on a beach showing herself in a little bikini thong thing, showing her butt to the camera. She says, I'm looking for a yes man. Can we get brunch? Yes. Let's go to the beach. Yes. Weekend getaway? Yes. Charge 10 grand on your credit card? Yes. Smiley face. Let's review that. I'm looking for a yes, man. Can we get breakfast food where you pay? Yes. Can we go to the beach vacation where you pay? Yes. Let's do a weekend getaway where you pay? Yes. Also give me 10 grand. Again, some of you have said the line, I'm going to ruin it. It was in Jack Reacher. Tom Cruise playing Jack Reacher said something like, I can't afford you, to a woman who he thought was a professional night worker, a professional. And he said, I can't afford you. And she said, oh, I'm not a professional. And he said, oh, well, then I definitely can't afford you. Girlfriends and wives and all that are much more expensive than a professional. And the thing is, you don't know how much it's going to cost you until it's too late. That's the big thing. This girl's just letting you know, hey, it's going to be expensive right from the get-go. This one's kind of an interesting one. So this is a woman showing her cleavage, and that was it. She's 19. She says, I might have EUPD. And I said, EUPD, what is that? I've never heard of that one. emotionally I had to look this up. Emotionally unstable personality disorder, or BPD, bipolar disorder. So she says I might have emotionally unstable personality disorder and a psychosis and anxiety and depression and paranoia. But I will try and still be me. Well, the question is, which you are you going to be? <That's>, I know there's a difference, but it's still funny. She said, been through loads of S in my life, but ready to move on and make a fresh start with the right person. Currently pregnant, but don't let that put you off. Snapgram, Instagram, and TikTok addresses or info down below. So she might have a mental disorder or another mental disorder or anxiety, or which is another mental disorder, or another mental disorder, or paranoia, which is another mental disorder. But she'll try to still be her. Even if you are you, it sounds like I don't know which one of you you'd be, and that's probably very frightening. This is the type of person I would be afraid to fall asleep with in the same room, let alone the same bed. No, let me correct that. In the same building. I wouldn't want to fall asleep with somebody like this, because if they went all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, that's where you might not wake up. I'm just saying. She's been through a load of stuff in my life. She's 19. How much S could you go through in your life at 19? Now, some people, yes. And maybe she had bad things done to her by family members or weirdos or something like that. I get that. And you know something? If that's truly what's happened, then I wouldn't make fun of her. I'd say go get professional help, because you say you might have all these things. If you talk to a professional, you'd know if you have these things or not. And if you do, work through them. You know what you don't do in the meantime? Go on dates, because that is not going to do any good for you. And again, and she's currently pregnant. But don't let that put you off. That's not the only thing that would put me off. You have so many red flags. So many red flags. And the three words, might have EUPD. There you go. That's the only red flag you need. Cut it there. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. As always, if you have, thank you very much. And the best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe. Join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. You guys are champs, man. I've had so many new subscribers, so many new members, so many new supporters, yearly supporters getting a couple months off over there. We're beta. My channel is a beta for the yearly supporter, and we're doing great. I got an email the other day, and they're like, wow, your community is amazing. We're really pleased to see that so many people like your content and joining for a year membership. You don't have to. Just join us over there. It's free. But if you'd like to support my work, that's a great way to do it. And go check out some of my older videos, because that helps me as well. Guys, I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, the hard times are going to teach you. The hard times are going to let you appreciate the good times. And then the next time the good times come around, you're going to appreciate them all that much more. Don't be afraid of the bad times. They're going to happen to you. Struggle through them. Work through it. You will become stronger, smarter, better able to handle the little things. And the bigger the things that you go through in life, everything else becomes smaller by default. You know, by default. So plow through those hard times. Understand it's going to happen to everybody, but know that you'll be able to handle them going forward. And in the long run, you'll be happier for it.